Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and now it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. The Boston Celtics are currently the favorite at plus 160, but the team that's third in my championship rankings, the Dallas Mavericks, you can get them on DraftKings right now at plus 1600 to win the title. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code HOOPS. That's H-O-O-P-S. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HOOPS, H-O-O-P-S, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario, bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. All right, welcome to Hoops Tonight here at The Volume. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope all of you guys are having an incredible start to your week. We did start our reaction to Lakers Nuggets on live on YouTube, but we had some sort of technical difficulty that arose, so we're just starting from scratch here at the beginning of this one. The Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Lakers played yet another game that looked just like every other game they played, and the Denver Nuggets are advancing to the conference semifinals to play the Minnesota Timberwolves. We're going to break it down from the perspective of both teams. You guys know the drill before we get started. Subscribe to our brand new YouTube channel so you don't miss any more of our videos. Follow me on Twitter at @_JasonLT so you guys don't miss any show announcements. Don't forget about our podcast feed wherever you guys get your podcasts under Hoops Tonight. And then last but not least, keep dropping mailbag questions in those YouTube comments so we can keep hitting them throughout the rest of the playoff run. So in a weird way, that game to me embodied why the Nuggets are as successful as they are. Because, like, I know we have this tendency to just want a team, the best team or the best player, to always be playing their best and for things to always be the perfect set of circumstances. And the reality, that's not how it works. You go back in the late 1990s, those Bulls teams that won, it's like a lot of guys are injured. There's on-court drama, off-court drama. You're just kind of plugging away trying to get through. Even going back to those Miami Heat teams, it's like Wade's knee is giving him issues. Chris Bosh has got an abdominal strain. Like, it just, it ends up being more complicated than you expect more often than not. And that's the beauty of hoisting the Larry O'Brien trophy. The one that the Nuggets got last year was unusual in the sense that it lacked adversity in a lot of different ways. You never actually felt like Denver was threatened in that playoff series. That's unusual and a testament to how dominant the Denver Nuggets can be when they are healthy. Right? But we saw in this first round series here, the first time, a couple things go against Denver. Jamal Murray strains a calf muscle. KCP tweaks an ankle. All of a sudden, like, the mobility of your backcourt fundamentally shifts. And we've talked about this with Denver. Their roster construct depends on all five starters. I've had that qualifier with my Denver optimism all year long. Like, I think they're the best team in the league, who's the clear championship favorite, provided that all five of their starters are healthy. And when one of them gets hurt, it shrinks the gap between them and a team like the Lakers and could potentially be an issue down the line, which is why this game was so important. Minnesota just beat Phoenix last night. Anthony Edwards looks like he's on a mission to try to take over the NBA. So you have to win tonight, because if you don't, 2 days from now, on Thursday, 3 days from now, you're going back to LA to play the Lakers in Crypto.com Arena with all the momentum in front of their home crowd. A good chance that thing gets sent back to Denver in seven. And yeah, Denver's going to be favored in that game, and I'd pick them to win that game, right? But all of a sudden, now you're hobbling into a Minnesota Timberwolves series. You needed this one. And once again, from the opening tip, a bunch of stuff's not going your way. Lakers still playing really good basketball. By the way, hopefully after this series, you guys will understand why I had some optimism surrounding the Lakers. I had sixth in my list of contenders. It's because LeBron James and Anthony Davis are a problem. And when they get support from their role players, they can be really difficult to beat. And you saw, they got 33 points from Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell tonight. And it was kind of a rough Rui Hachimura game, but they got some support and they were right there at the end of the game. That's the type of challenge that this was. Denver was turning the basketball over a lot early. KCP tweaks his ankle. All of a sudden, it's like survival mode. You just got to find a way to get out. And everyone just found a way to contribute. The two main guys were Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. Their shot making just saved the Denver Nuggets tonight. I thought, yeah, we're going to focus on Jamal Murray's shot making at the end of the game, and it was amazing. He had another driving layup and pick and roll. Hit a three off of that major offensive rebound from Aaron Gordon. Hit the game winner over Austin Reeves, which was like perfectly contested. Austin was this close. When I watched it the first time in live, I actually thought Austin might have got a piece of it. No, he didn't. Jamal got just enough separation and knocked down the shot. We're going to focus on the end, but the truth is Jamal's shot making was saving Denver from the first quarter. When the Lakers were coming out with their hair on fire trying to get this game, Jamal and Reggie Jackson too, shout out to Reggie Jackson, they made shots in that first half and kept the game close. Michael Porter Jr. as well. Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray combined to go 10 for 17 from three. Isn't that like unbelievable? In my time covering the league, in my time being a basketball fan, I can't remember a player other than Steph Curry where it's like if he gets a decent look, it's just going to go in. It's like rooting against Michael Porter Jr., horrible experience. Highly advise you don't do that. Like, it honestly is just, like, it's terrifying. Every time he catches, you just know it's going in. But MPJ pours in 26, Jamal pours in 32, just kept the game close. And then down the stretch, guys made key plays. Jokic, kind of a bad night by his standards again. 25 points, 20 rebounds, and 9 assists, because he's the best player in the world and his bad games are better than the vast majority of players' good games, right? But AD was taking it to him up until he hurt his shoulder, right? But he had a few key plays down the stretch of this game, a big offensive rebound putback, a transition play where he sprinted ahead of the field, ahead of Anthony Davis, and got Rui Hachimura in a cross match and took him right to the front of the rim and made his little kind of signature hook shot across the lane. Again, just made big plays in the game. And then Aaron Gordon, I thought by far the biggest play of the game. Lakers get a stop, force a miss. LeBron is trying to box Aaron Gordon out, and he just goes right over the top of him and snatches the offensive rebound, kicks it out to Jamal Murray, knocks down the three that puts Denver up two. Now all of a sudden it's a back and forth type of game. LeBron, to his credit, made a couple of plays at the end to keep him in it, but once again, when it comes down to it, the Lakers just never could get a stop on the Denver Nuggets. Austin Reeves did the best he possibly could in that situation. But again, this is a player. I love Austin. I thought he hit a massive three at the end of the game too, but he's being asked to do a job that he probably shouldn't be asked to do. And he's done as well doing it as you could ever ask a player with his physical tools to do. But he's, you know, arms just aren't long enough, just not quite athletic enough to get enough of a contest on that Jamal Murray shot. And it goes in, game is over. And here we are once again with Denver out executing the Lakers down the stretch of a game. Just what an unbelievable basketball game. It's just, again, like, I think everyone wants to pretend like it's easy, and it's not. It's usually not. It's almost always a grind. The year before, the Warriors were down 2-1 having to go into Boston, right? Like, going back to 2021, that series that the Bucks had to deal with the Brooklyn Nets, down 2-0 to the Phoenix Suns. Teams like the 2020 Lakers, who kind of ran through everybody, and Denver in 2023, who kind of ran through everybody, that's somewhat uncommon in the NBA, right? Like, usually it's hard. And when it's hard, the championship teams just find a way to get it done. And Denver found a way to get it done tonight. Kind of a little quick breakdown of the game. Like, the reason why the Lakers kind of kept it close over the course of this tail stretch of the series in large part had to do with them kind of figuring out how to guard Nikola Jokic. One, Anthony Davis is the best defensive player in the world. I think he demonstrated that in this series in a big way while he was healthy. Just actually dissuaded Jokic a lot in one-on-one situations. Timely doubles, really smart rotations. One of the big things, remember the Jamal Murray dunk on LeBron? That was a really interesting counter to what the Lakers were doing in their windshield wiper rotation. So basically, they'd double Jokic from the first pass away and then immediately rotate up with the guy at the top of the key and then kind of shift everybody around and the advantage would be gone. There'd be a short closeout on the weak side, usually at KCP, and then they close out and the advantage would be gone. But on the critical play at the end of the game when Jamal Murray dunked on LeBron, what happened was, is if you watch it, Austin Reeves is the windshield wiper rotation. So Rui throws the first double. Austin rotates up to MPJ. But instead of standing on the perimeter where D'Lo could have easily rotated to Jamal, Jamal cut down the lane. And when he cut down the lane, Jokic hit him. And as a result, there was an opening. LeBron was a step slow to get over in rotation. And he dunked on LeBron. Just a massive execution adjustment from Denver to get a big bucket out of those Jokic double teams. And then the other reason why it was close is, you know, I still think Jokic is the best player in the world. Not a good defensive series from him. The Lakers sliced and diced him all over the floor. They had nothing they could do. Jokic couldn't guard Anthony Davis one-on-one, couldn't guard in ball screens. That ended up being a major issue in this series. And for the record, I think LeBron and AD are a unique challenge in that regard. And so even though Anthony Edwards is a really good athlete that can get downhill, in terms of the playmaking piece that the Lakers had, Minnesota doesn't quite have that type of like quick, you know, read and react type of a thing going down to get easy buckets on the back line. So it'll be an interesting kind of different series as we head to Minnesota. And I'll be curious to see if Minnesota can kind of capitalize on some of the stuff that the Lakers were doing. But again, that's kind of what makes the Lakers. It's not many teams are going to have a power forward that is 6'9", 260, that can dribble, shoot, and pass the way that LeBron can, and then Anthony Davis on the other side of that two-man game. And that gave the Nuggets a lot of issues. As a matter of fact, if we go back to last year, Denver's defense was better against all three opponents other than the Lakers. They did better against Miami. They did better against Minnesota. They did better against Phoenix. The Lakers actually had the most success scoring against Denver last year, particularly in the paint. This matchup is a little tough for Denver on that specific front, right? And so because they kind of had some success guarding Jokic and because they were slicing and dicing him in the paint, that was what kind of kept the series close, right? But again, they just had to find a way to linger around. They waited for the Lakers to Laker, right? Like in that late third quarter sequence, Anthony Davis gets hurt. He leaves the floor. LeBron gets tired. LeBron starts making bad decisions. Darvin Ham doesn't call a timeout. And they turn a 8-point deficit into a 3-point lead in a matter of minutes. That's the thing. Again, with the Nuggets, it's just hang on to the rope. Hang on to the rope. The Lakers will eventually let go. Even if it's just for a couple of minutes, they'll let go. They did. They flipped the script of the game, turned it into a dogfight. And as soon as it was a dogfight, the Nuggets just have better half-court execution, especially on the offensive end of the floor. And they got the buckets and got one more than the Los Angeles Lakers did once again. I felt bad for Anthony Davis because he was really having just an unbelievable series and having a lot of success. Like, he closed the gap on Jokic in a big way in this series, and then his body let him down. And I feel really bad for him because that's a tough way to get kind of like, he was still out there, he was defending, but he couldn't do anything on the offensive end of the floor, and you could tell that left arm was just limp. So I felt bad. I felt bad for Anthony Davis. But at the end of the day, like, this is where margin for error kind of plays a role. Like, Jamal Murray had a strained calf, and KCP sprained his ankle. But the Nuggets did the work early in the series and went up 3-0. So, like, even if they did happen to lose this game, they'd have 2 days off to get their shit together and try to close things out on Thursday. The Lakers, by going down 3-0, because Anthony Davis got hurt, they didn't have the luxury of another game to figure that out. They had to win this one. And so, again, like, as I kind of zoom back out of the series, the Lakers are good. They're a good basketball team, and they showed that. But the Lakers always just made a few more mistakes than Denver. And that really was the difference in the series. I saw a lot of talk today. Oh, the Lakers led 73% of the series. And I think after tonight's game, they led 69% of the series, right? So Lakers led the majority of the series. But they lost 4-1. And the reason why is it didn't matter how they played for the entirety of the series, because in key pivotal stretches, they got out-executed.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game one, middle of the second quarter, and then, or end of the second quarter, and then middle of the third quarter, two crucial execution lapses from the Lakers. They go give up a 13-0 run in that, or a 10-0 run in that, second quarter and a 13-0 run in the third quarter, game is over, right? Game two, you're up 20 in the second half. There's a half dozen execution errors in that late third quarter run after the Nuggets make their switch from a bunch of different players. The lead shrinks going into the fourth quarter, totally different game. Then you give up a bucket on 8 out of 9 tries down the floor at the end of the game. Game three, you're up at halftime and you just completely let go of the rope and give an incredibly poor effort in the third quarter. Those are the ones you have to look back at. Again, if you do better in those situations, you give yourself a better chance to win the series in the long run. Again, like if I look back The Lakers are good, but the difference between them and Denver is their ability to sustain, their ability to maintain their composure, to maintain their execution, to maintain their effort. Denver did, the Lakers didn't. That's why they're a championship team. That's why the Lakers are something less than that. It doesn't matter. You don't get bonus points for leading unless there are zeros on the clock. In Denver, more often than not, 80% of the games in the series was leading when there were zeros on the clock. Looking forward to Nuggets Wolves. Obviously, you need the Denver to rest up and get healthy. KCP is going to have his hands full with Anthony Edwards. I think that Denver will do a similar kind of thing to what Vogel did and bring Jokic up in a high drop and test Ant's playmaking. Mind you, the Timberwolves were handling that really well. Ant had a great playmaking series. I have a feeling that that's something that Minnesota will have some success against. I think they'll do similar things to Mike Conley, kind of sagging off and seeing if he's willing to score. Big differences in the series compared to the Suns series. The Wolves got offensive rebounds on almost 40% of their own misses against the Phoenix Suns. Denver, especially in their starting five, is just a much better defensive rebounding team. So I think that they'll just have a lot more success ending those defensive possessions. I think on the offensive end, it's going to be a big part of, like, Jokic is going to have to score. You know, this series, it was a totally different type of matchup. I think Anthony Davis is a better defensive player than Rudy Gobert, personally. I know some people disagree. I think AD is, he has more, like, kind of strength to him, so he can kind of hold up a little bit better under the Jokic bully ball. But, like, the reality is Jaden McDaniels is going to be on Jamal Murray. Jaden McDaniels is going to be on Jamal Murray, and that's just an entirely different class of perimeter athlete than Austin Reeves. To put it simply, Jaden McDaniels, in my opinion, is the best perimeter defender in basketball. And then they'll also put Anthony Edwards on him for stretches. So, like, that on-ball defense piece is going to make it so that Jokic has to score more. He can't do what he did in this series where he just kind of gave up the basketball anytime he felt any resistance and just kind of cleaned up trash around the basket for offensive rebounds. Jokic is going to have to score. He's going to have to score on Kat. He's going to have to score on Rudy Gobert. It's going to be a huge element of the series. I think matchups are going to be a big part of it too. Like, in all likelihood, they'll probably start with Ant on MPJ and try to hide Conley on KCP, right? And so getting into those situations where Michael Porter Jr. is having some success on the offensive glass with his height, shooting over the top of Ant on the weak side is going to be big. Obviously, like, using KCP in actions to try to attack Mike Conley to get in rotation. There's going to be a bunch of different things that Denver's going to have to look at. I'm not going to get into the specifics into too much more detail tonight because we're going to do a full series preview over the course of the next couple of days here. But it's going to be a really interesting series. I think if I was ranking teams at this point in the playoffs, especially in light of the Kristaps Porzingis injury, Denver's one for me. Minnesota's now two. And I know I had Minnesota lower in my pre-playoffs kind of like contender rankings, but at that point in time, Jamal Murray wasn't playing as well. Or excuse me, not Jamal Murray, Anthony Edwards. I pulled these numbers earlier today when we were working with the nerds. But Anthony Edwards in the regular season, 26 points per game on 58% true shooting with 5 rebounds and 5 assists. In the playoffs, 31 points per game on 65% true shooting with 8 rebounds per game and 6 assists per game. So he's just at a different level now than what he was in the regular season. Changes the calculus of that entire team. I have them as the second best team. And so on Boston, just without Porzingis and with some of their execution errors, and they're just not a very serious team right now. They've been playing with their food a little bit with Miami. I think Minnesota's playing better basketball right now. And so that series, that Minnesota Denver series, could very well end up being the series that determines who wins the NBA championship. Although Boston, I know, will have something to say about that in the finals. Excited to break that one down and get a prediction to you guys in the next couple of days. On the Lakers front, moving forward, they're going to look back at this series as just a sea of missed opportunities. Missed a bunch of free throws tonight. LeBron misses a box out on Aaron Gordon late in the game that very well would have sent this thing back to Los Angeles. The game two late game execution errors as they blew that 20-point lead. The back-to-back massive runs that they gave up in the second and third quarter in game one. A lot of missed opportunities for the Lakers in this series. Rui Hachimura basically no-shows the series. D'Lo gives you three good games and two atrocious games. Austin, kind of a really good defensive series, struggled to make shots for the most part, right? Like, just a lot of meat left on the bone. And quite frankly, like, they need a new coach. This is something that they need to address in this offseason. I think that they're closer than people think, but at the same time, there's a very small window here. I think you got maybe one more year out of LeBron James where he's at a superstar level, and then there's probably going to be a substantial decline, and it's very likely that that decline starts next year, right, at his age. And so there's an opportunity here if they can make some moves on the margins, but they're close. But you cannot go into a series like this again at a massive execution disadvantage. You have to address that at the head coach, and you have to address that for 82 games in the regular season. You need to establish habits of being an execution and decision-making team throughout the entire regular season so that you, when you get into these situations, you don't make those kinds of mistakes. And I wanted to hit LeBron for a second, because it was like, you guys know I'm a LeBron fan, and LeBron fans hate me because I'm willing to say stuff like this, but LeBron's series was so weird to me. I felt like he had his hands in everything good, but also in everything bad. Those two runs in game one, the second quarter run and the third quarter run, it was LeBron's decision-making that was the problem. He made several mistakes in both of those runs. He would get tired, and then his decision-making would slip. Moving forward to game two, when they made the switch to put Gordon on Anthony Davis, LeBron kind of froze AD out of the game and started attacking with Rui and ball screens. And wasn't really the right way to attack KCP as a perimeter player. Just wasn't the right way to do it. I thought it was a poor decision. Game three, it was him that was losing Aaron Gordon constantly on the back line as he was getting offensive rebound put back after offensive rebound put back after cut on the baseline for a dunk. And then tonight, it was like he was awesome for most of it, but then it's like there's this weird third quarter stretch where he's clearly tired and he's settling for bad shots and turning the basketball over. And then in the fourth quarter, makes so many big plays, but then misses the biggest box. Like, how could you miss that box out on Aaron Gordon, just let him reach up? Literally, all he had to do after he had him boxed out was go get the basketball. But he sat down in his stance and just let AD or AG go right over the top of him. It was like such a bizarre LeBron series, because like genuinely he was awesome or like making mistakes, like big mistakes at critical points in the game. And it was just back and forth between that throughout the whole series. It was honestly one of the weirder series I've seen LeBron play. Because like he's just usually not the guy that makes execution errors. And it was part of, you know, and honestly, this is where I go back to the 82 games thing. That was kind of part of the story of the Lakers this year. Like it was just, from the top down, that just execution lapses. And LeBron was also responsible for part of that. So again, I think he's still got good basketball in him. I want to see him play in this environment again. I want to see him do it on a team that's got a little bit more talent, and I hope that they can do that in LA, or that LeBron can find a different place for him to do that. But man, like this close again to sending that thing back to LA and potentially extending the series. All right, guys, that is all I have for tonight. As always, I sincerely appreciate you guys for supporting the show. We're going to be back at for sure tomorrow night to cover the game five between the Mavericks and the Clippers. But we tomorrow's game five, Philly versus New York. The Clippers-Mavs game, I think, is on Wednesday. But we're going to be back live on YouTube tomorrow night. Keep an eye on my Twitter feed. I'll let you guys know when I'm doing the series preview on Nuggets-Timberwolves. Again, I appreciate you guys rocking with me, and I will see you tomorrow.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings.
So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.